This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. You know, this is the first Phillies Today where I really sit down, and it feels like baseball season, man. Like, everyone's talking about the Phillies right now. Obviously, when the Eagles win the Super Bowl, you're going to have a lot of Eagles discussion go on to the spring, and that's fine. That's all good. Hey, love me some 2024-2025 Eagles here, as they definitely deserve all of the talk in the town, but... you know, the air's getting a little warmer this week. The guys are down in spring training. We got games to watch each and every day right now. The baseball talk is finally back in Philadelphia, and it makes me happy, man. Like, it just feels like summer's coming, and the Phils are going to be back up here before we know it. It just makes me happy. Like, I love baseball. If you listen to this podcast, you know how much I enjoy having my summers filled with Phillies baseball. And, you know, I'm just very excited to get to talking about this team and the games that they're playing on a weekly basis again. And I'm very excited to do the pod today. I got a lot to talk about. And again, you can't take a ton away from spring training games. It's obviously not the end-all, be-all, but I like to react to them. So going to get into a bunch of takeaways from these past few spring training games over the course of the last week or so. Going to talk about the prospects, as I always do. Some positional change stuff. Who's going to get that last roster spot after, you know, a key injury this past week to one of the guys who was going to be on that bench? Going to discuss that as well. But I'm going to start out today with something that, you know, has kind of been on the surface here at WIP and just throughout the Delaware Valley, it seems like, when it comes to the Philadelphia Phillies in the year 2025. And that is, you know, can we allow ourselves to get excited about this upcoming season? And, you know, it has a different feeling than the last few years, to where they get to the World Series in 22. While that wasn't an unbelievable regular season, they only end up getting in that series against the Astros at the very end there. But 2022, all that momentum gets created. 2023, you know, they start off slow, but they get into the postseason as, you know, one of the top wildcard teams. And they get to the NLCS, and it looks like they're right on the doorstep. And we know what happened against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And last year, when they get off to that hot start, and it feels like the year where everything just comes together. You have the roster between the pitching, you know, the lineup, the bullpen, everything working in your favor. And it just sort of starts to fade as the season goes on. And we've reached a point to where I don't think the Phillies are like the Sixers in terms of apathy within the fans in this town. But it's a make or break year for the Phillies in terms of this fan base being on board. And that's why I think that, yes, you can get excited for the season. And of course, I'm somebody who's always going to get excited for the season, no matter how good or bad the Phillies might be, just because I love baseball. But for your average fan, this feels like a make or break season for the Phillies. And there's a lot of people out there, and I can't say I blame them too much, even though this will never be the outlook or the mindset that I would have going into a baseball year. But there's a lot of people that just say, you know, hurry up, get me to October. And, you know, watching all 162 games is great and all, and they'll probably end up getting into the playoffs because they obviously have a talented roster still, and they have a pitching staff that definitely could do that. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who are just saying, show me in the playoffs and show me that you were able to get back to that point that you were in 2022 and be two games away from winning the World Series. So I don't necessarily blame people for that, but I think there is still a lot of reason to be excited about this baseball team, and I'm going to explain why. So the first thing is that this rotation, I don't think people understand just how special this rotation is going into the season. Maybe it's because of what the Dodgers did this offseason. And look, I'm not going into the year expecting the Phillies to win the World Series. Like, my expectations right now are get to the NLCS against the Dodgers and let's just see what happens. Because realistically, the Dodgers went out and spent all that money. They're going to have the best roster in baseball. There's not much you can do about it. Now, if the Phillies were in the American League, I'd be saying, you know, I think they have a shot because I think the American League is sort of wide open. But the fact that the rotation, the Phillies, is as good as it's become, just to be overshadowed by what the Dodgers did this offseason, I don't think you can allow that to sort of dictate your mind to saying, oh, well, the Dodgers have a better pitching staff. This pitching staff is, you know, it's fine, but it's not one of the elite pitching staffs in baseball. I don't just think it's one of the elite pitching staffs in baseball. I think it has the chance to be the most special rotation I've seen in my lifetime of being 25 years old. And of course, I saw, you know, the Four Aces in 2011. I've seen the rotations of the past few years as well. But the acquisition of Jesús Luzardo is a move that I think could define this team this year. And look, it ultimately could be if he stays healthy. It could be a thing where if he stays healthy, that's going to be what ends up paying it off and being Dave Dombrowski's big move of the summer, because clearly there are big move of the offseason, because not much else took place in terms of just, you know, they got Max Kepler. That's a good addition to the outfield. Besides that, you didn't do too much. You got Jordan Romano in there, I have to get used to saying that, by the way. I've been saying Romano, but it's pronounced as Romano, and I just can't wrap my brain around calling him Romano, but I'm going to keep trying my best. So Jordan Romano, you get him in the offseason, and of course you lose Jeff Hoffman, and you lose Carlos Estevez too, and you ultimately have a bullpen that's probably worse than it was last year. But that Jesús Luzardo ad, it could be the thing that really pushes this rotation over the top. And of course you can't leave out Andrew Painter, who looks like he's going to be coming up in July from everything they're saying. He's not pitching or starting in any spring training games from what I believe, but he's doing his bullpen sessions. My parents are actually down in Clearwater this week. Jealous, by the way. And, my dad was sending me pictures from the complex of Andrew Painter pitching his bullpens. And, you know, I'm getting all giddied up about Andrew Painter. So he's getting his work in down there. But this rotation, especially once he comes up, you have six starting pitchers that, you know, legitimately could be the one for the New York Mets right now, which, again, says something about the Mets rotation. And they're suffering from some injuries themselves. Frankie Montas on the shelf. Now after, you know, Sean Manaea also on the shelf. So they're missing a couple guys in an already not too deep rotation. So, but the Phillies rotation, it could be really special, man. And it's crazy to think that Aaron Nola, as consistent as Aaron Nola has been throughout the past few years and gets the contract extension last year and had another good season last year, he might be the fourth or fifth best arm in this rotation if everyone's healthy and is right, which is, you know, pretty incredible to think about. So, it's going to be very interesting to watch this rotation on a night-to-night basis. And another part of that rotation, which I'm really excited about, and he looked really good the other day, is Christopher Sanchez, man. Like, I saw Christopher Sanchez had some crazy Cy Young odds. Like, I'm going to try to look right now. But his development over the course of the last year plus now, is just absolutely ridiculous. Like, in the spring training game the other day, he's throwing 97, 98, like, consistently. And I know it's spring training, and he's probably, you know, obviously not ramped all the way up yet and can sort of throw that hard just because he knows he's only going a couple innings. But at the same time, like, he's a guy who kind of leans on or has leaned on deception over the course of his career. And now he's turning in a guy with great stuff, great velocity. And I expect him to be the Phillies' second best pitcher this season. And just the fact that he's developed the way he has, just another credit to Caleb Cotham and this whole Phillies development staff as well. And I'm really excited about the guy. I think he could be phenomenal and could have a Cy Young type season. Plus 5,000, by the way, on Chris Sanchez Cy Young, which is way down there. And might be worth a little sprinkle if you're looking to throw on something this year. And it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, assuming everyone's healthy and the Phillies are doing well heading into the trade deadline, like Ranger Suarez is on the last year of his contract. And we all know the story with Ranger last year. He starts out phenomenal as a Cy Young candidate himself. And then, you know, gets banged up a little. He got hit in the hand. He had the back thing and sort of tails off as the first half is, coming to a close there. And my whole thing is the Phillies are, in playoff contention and rotation's going as well as it is. And you have Andrew Painter coming up. What do you do with Ranger Suarez at the deadline on a contract year? And I don't know how, if he'd be reluctant to move to the bullpen, because I think Ranger Suarez, wants to do whatever it takes to have the Phillies win a World Series. But at the same time, like, he's looking for a contract. So that's going to be an interesting scenario to see how that plays out. And Zach Wheeler threw against the Yankees yesterday. He looked good. Again, just typical Zach Wheeler stuff. I think he pitched 3 innings and, fanned down a bunch of guys. So Zach Wheeler looking like Zach Wheeler. And, I expect him to have another big-time season. One note from Zach Wheeler, by the way. I was watching the Phillies show with Todd Zielecki, Salisbury, and Ruben Amaro, and they interviewed Zach Wheeler the other day. It was a good interview, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet. And they asked Wheels about after this contract extension that he just got, which made him the highest paid player, I think, annually on the Phillies. They asked him, after this contract, what is the plan for you? Like, what do you think? Are you considering being done after this contract? And he was pretty, adamant about saying, yeah, I think I might be, just because I want to pitch my best baseball. And once that's over, I don't know if I want to continue to, go out there and pitch every fifth day. So we could be seeing the last few years here of Zach Wheeler. And he's what, 34, going to be 35 this year. And the fact that he is already thinking about that is like, man, they got to go win this thing now. So little note on Zach Wheeler there. Again, not going to happen anytime soon, but this could be the last contract for Zach Wheeler. So just an interesting note there that I saw as well in their podcast. So if we're talking, continuing to talk about getting ourselves excited going into the season, I think one guy who I've talked about a little bit on the podcast, who I want to expand on a little bit more, who's looked good in spring training too, by the way, Bryson Stott, I think, is the key to this lineup this year. And there's a lot of people down in the lineup right now and just saying, when the bats go cold in October, that's ultimately going to be the downfall of this team. But if Bryson Stott can get back to that 2023 form, and he's looked good at the plate so far, he's been patient, he's looked good in the field, which he always is. He's a Gold Glove caliber second baseman. Like, I think a lot of people are underrating the impact that he can have on this baseball team this year. And if he proves that he could potentially even, get raised in the lineup and become one of the top hitters, and who knows what's going to happen with Turner in the leadoff spot, if that ends up being something that sticks, and whether, what happens afterwards, if Bryce Harper ends up ever wanting to move out of the three spot, which is bothering me a little bit, but we'll see how it sort of develops as we get closer to opening day. But Bryce's stock could be the key to, making this lineup.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
As deep as it can possibly be. So I'm expecting a bounce back year for him. His elbow seems healthy. He's looked really good in spring training so far. And if Stoddy can get back to that 2023, especially the early 2023 form, that's going to be big time for this team. So that is something that I am looking forward to as well. And obviously seeing, I'm not necessarily looking forward to, but just seeing where this bullpen is in comparison to last year. Because while I don't think they are the number one bullpen in baseball like they were for the majority of last season, until, you know, the playoffs when they all decided to collapse at the same time, which was just unfortunate. But I still do think they're one of the top bullpens in baseball. Like, they're, if you look around the league and just look at, you know, the depth chart of bullpen arms, whether it's, you know, on the Mets, on the Yankees, on the Reds, like a lot of contenders here, the Phillies stack up pretty well with them. So I don't think that they are the bullpen they were last year. Losing Jeff Hoffman, who was an all-star, is clearly a big loss. But at the same time, I still think this bullpen can hold its own and won't necessarily be a detriment of this team, but might not be a strength like it was last year. So going to move off of getting excited for the season for a second, which, and move on to something that kind of confused me yesterday as the Phillies lined up against the Yankees in spring training. And this has been something that's been discussed before. This ended up happening yesterday, which was just, once you saw it in the lineup, I was like, I guess they really are going through with this. Kyle Schwarber at first base. Like, I don't really understand the logic between having Schwarber at first base. I understand that you want to get Bryce off his feet some days and have him DH, which is fine with me, and you want to keep Schwarber's bat in the lineup, but is having him at first base really that much better than having him in left field? Like, if you watched the 2021 Red Sox run to the World Series, or run to the ALCS, you saw Kyle Schwarber get some reps at first base, and he looked absolutely horrible. What makes you think that 3-4 years later, he's going to all of a sudden turn into a competent first baseman? And you can always have JT play first base, and I know they want to get JT off his feet too. That would be a great thing to do, and he's had time at first base before and hasn't looked bad, and he's a much better athlete than Kyle Schwarber is over there at first. And from what I saw in the video today, I mean, Schwarber looked fine there. He didn't make a play where it was like, oh boy, that was just absolutely awful. But I am interested to see if they end up implementing that somewhat often during the regular season, because when he tried it out with the Red Sox, it did not go well. And it's one of those, you know, positional changes where you say to yourself, is it really worth it just to keep his bat in the lineup? And it probably is, because Kyle Schwarber is probably a top two, top three impact bat in the Phillies lineup, and you want him in there as much as you can. But at the same time, I would honestly almost rather you put him in left, just because he has more experience there, and you know, you live with, you know, maybe a fly ball getting down, or him not having the range that, you know, a Brandon Marsh or a Max Kepler would out there in left field. So just an interesting thought. And one other interesting sort of note in terms of positional changes that has been discussed a little bit that I'm starting to really kind of get in on here is Edmundo Sosa playing out in the outfield. There's been some discussions about being in center field and being in left field as well. If Edmundo Sosa can play a competent center field, or just even any outfield position at all, like, he's going to find himself in the lineup very often here, and not even just against lefties. Like, the fact that, and I'll get to the injury news in a second, that you don't have as much depth out there, and he's a bat where, you know, he mashes left-handed pitching, and he has the ability to, you know, face right-handed pitching. It's not like a Brandon Marsh lefty-lefty thing where you go, man, this guy's got no chance, even though Brandon Marsh did have a hit off Carlos Rodon today. I think it might have been two, actually, and including it was a double to center field, which was nice to see. But I think Edmundo Sosa could find himself in the lineup pretty often here, and we'll see how Kepler sort of integrates into the lineup here and if he is successful early in the season and stays in there every day. But Edmundo Sosa might end up getting a lot of playing time for this team, which I don't necessarily hate because I think he's he's athletic enough to be able to play out there, and it would be nice to have that bat in the lineup instead of Johan Rojas necessarily, even though, again, Johan Rojas against the Yankees did go deep. Nice little opposite field homer there. But I think Edmundo Sosa's impact on the lineup in terms of a bat would be much more beneficial than having Johan Rojas in there every day. And we've seen the last couple of years how Johan Rojas can go through these stretches of just really not getting the baseball out of the infield. So that's going to be sort of an intriguing storyline as it develops here. But mentioned some injury news that I had to bring up, and that is Wes Wilson before the game the other day. Paul Buchheit, who is the Phillies' trainer, came out into the field as team was warming up earlier in the day before the game, and went over to Wes Wilson apparently, who was having some trouble, and he has a strained oblique that is going to keep him out 6 weeks, the Phillies say. So he will miss the start of opening day, will not make the opening day roster, and would have been his first opening day roster. So you got to feel for the guy a little bit, but that leaves sort of a bench bat spot open for somebody to take, and there's a couple options that are on the team right now that just make sense. Buddy Kennedy being probably the next best right-handed bat on your bench there could be a candidate for that. Cody Clemens, out of options, but is a good bat that has provided you some pop off the bench the last couple of years and just provided some sparks at times. He could take that spot, and I don't know how deeply they're going to look into the lefty-righty thing in terms of that last bench bat that they keep, but those are probably the two guys on the team that I say have a good shot of doing it right now. Otto Kemp has flashed in camp, and I don't think he's on the 40-man roster, so they would have to make some moves there, but he's looked good. And like I said, though, Sosa probably turns into not just a bench bat, but a guy who's playing 4 or 5 days a week. So I don't know if he's necessarily going to be the solution, but he, again, is a guy who could play the outfield. And Rob Thompson has said that, last year he started taking some balls out in left field, but it was something that was sort of like, well, we'll see if this happens, and never really ended up coming to fruition. But apparently it's real now, and he could very well be playing a bunch of games out in left or center field. So we'll see how that goes. And there's some guys still out there too as well. Stone Garrett. For some reason, I'm a big Stone Garrett guy. He's got really good pop from the right-handed side and can't do a ton else, but could play the outfield too. He's available. You got Adam Duvall available after, he probably came off his career worst year in Atlanta. I think he was back there last year. And, hey, got Whit Merrifield still straggling out there. But, nah. Bring back Whit? Yeah. I don't know. probably not. But we'll say last thing on that. Johan Rojas definitely locked to make the team now. I thought it was maybe somewhat in question that he could potentially start the year out in the minors, but with Wes Wilson out, that right-handed bat will absolutely be on the team, and they'll clearly want him for defensive purposes as well. So Rojas would definitely expect him on the opening day roster. And what better way to end the pod here with Prospect Watch? I am really excited about a few of these guys, and there have been some real flashes in spring training to where some of the young kids are looking pretty good. And you have to start with Gabriel Rincones, who has two homers. The other day, hits a mammoth opposite field home run, and if you squint, you can see a little Cody Bellinger in that swing. He just lets the ball get really deep. Nice two-handed stroke, and he just absolutely golfed it out to left field, and he's been really impressive. His story has been, he's second-round pick a couple of years ago, and injuries have sort of, put his progression on pause over the last couple of seasons, but he's a guy you can get really excited about, and again, has some serious pop from the left-handed side. Still pretty young, I believe 24 years old, and somebody who is going to be pretty interesting to watch as he comes along in the minor leagues this season. Won't see him with the big club anytime soon, but if he's a guy who can continue to develop, he could not only be a potential future piece for this team, but maybe a trade piece down the line because I think we're past the point now of trading Painter, Miller, Crawford, because it felt like their time to trade them has kind of passed over the last couple of years, and they've adamantly stated that, you know, we want to keep these guys. We want these guys to come up. And it feels like by 2027, they're all going to be up here. So that's good to see. And, you know, they're both getting at-bats, Aiden Miller and Justin Crawford, in spring training so far. And they look good. Like, I think Aiden's approach at the plate's been really nice to see. He clearly has the discipline there. And you can tell he's anxious and he's, you know, swinging at some pitches that not necessarily or maybe, you know, in his zone. But at the same time, he drew a really nice walk the other day. And I don't want to glorify a spring training walk, but he clearly has good plate discipline. And Justin Crawford, it was nice to see. Like, he hit a ball on the ground the opposite way and got a base hit out of it. And he's a guy who I'm going to be pretty interested to see if they try to change his approach at all and change his swing. Because the big, I guess, flaw with Justin Crawford, a lot of people will say, is that he hits the ball on the ground too much and that, you know, he needs to start, you know, hitting line drives and getting the ball in the air. But at the same time, like, he's a guy who is incredible speed and is just an elite athlete. So, like, do you change his approach in terms of, you know, getting the ball in play and then making something happen with his legs? Like, I feel like that's something the Phillies need a little bit. And while that's not necessarily the profile that you want to develop for a guy as they come up throughout the minors and eventually get to the big leagues, like, that's something that I feel like if he can just do consistently and get the ball on the ground and, you know, make the infielders move a few feet one way or the other, like, he's going to beat a lot of ground balls out. And sort of how Trey Turner did very early in his career, like, a ground ball is not necessarily a bad thing for Justin Crawford. And we know about his elite defense and that he's continued to do that throughout spring training so far. So good to see that. Good to see, you know, him, Aiden Miller, Rinconas all kind of get their licks in as well offensively. Otto Kemp, as I mentioned, he's been a standout so far. Been good to see him sort of progress throughout the spring training so far early as well. And the last guy I want to bring up is somebody who, pretty intriguing. Name's John McMillan. He's a pitcher that's come from the Royals organization and has had some command troubles throughout his career and is somebody who, and you know, Jack Fritz likes to say, reminds him of Jeff Hoffman a little bit. He's got great velocity and he's got a wipeout slider. And if he could just find a way to sort of command his pitches a little bit and to sort of, you know, harness both of those and just be able to sort of play them off each other, like, he's somebody who could be a real threat in the bullpen moving forward. And that was sort of how Jeff Hoffman was when he came here. He had some control issues, but they were able to get him down to two really good pitches and turn that into, you know, an all-star. So not necessarily sure if that's exactly how it's going to go with McMillan here, but he's been really cool to watch as well and had two strikeouts against the Yankees yesterday. So he has looked really good this spring. But with that, that's going to wrap it up on this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll have continued coverage throughout the spring. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. We'll see you.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.